This is Digital Dave, and I'm speaking with Milton O'Brien of Inspire Strategic Solutions about the Great Air Race. What is the Great Air Race, Milton?
Digital Dave, good to see you, mate. The Great Air Race is 100 years, 1919 to 2019, 100-year celebration, London to Darwin in 1919. The Smith brothers, flying a Vickers Vimy, won the Great Air Race, commissioned by the Australian government at that time. There were six entrants, as a matter of fact. The Smith boys arrived in Darwin, which is the capital of Northern Territory at the top of Australia, on December the 10th, 1919. Second place came in about 3 months later, as a matter of fact.
I'm surprised they made it at all, because in 1919, navigation was certainly not a science.
Not at all. And that's the thing. This is the thing. That's the technology of 1919, coming out of the First World War. The RAF was only a year old. And you know, the US Air Force probably was only very, very young in its history as well. So this is one of the great achievements of aviation. The New York Post called it one of mankind's great achievements. It's kind of like walking on the moon.
At the time, yeah, you figure absolutely. Airplanes were only 13 years old.
Yeah. So now, 100 years later, fast forward to that, we're celebrating that achievement by the E-Race, which is essentially looking at fuel-efficient aircraft. We have four categories: electric, hydrogen, hybrid, and fuel-efficient aircraft. The fuel-efficient aircraft category, our Cat 4, it's kind of broad, it's a bit flexible, happy to get a whole range of people involved in that. And we're here at this great Oshkosh to talk about the Great Air Race and to encourage people to enter, and also have a chat to some of the sponsors along the way.
So if Joe Average Home Builder, felt like, you know, seeing Australia, I could enter?
You could go online, mate, and see if you can fit the criteria. We're happy to have you, Digital Dave.
Oh, well, I have to build the airplane first.
I'm sure you've got plenty of connections here. I mean, you're telling me you've been here for 23 years.
Yeah.
You would know a few people, I
reckon.
I do know
a few people here with planes.
Well, funnily enough, there's no Team USA.
Uh-oh. We've got to fix that.
Well, I'm throwing out the challenge right here and now. You claim you've got a lot of listeners on your breakfast show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out. Huh?
Here's the test.
Yep.
All right.
Go to the website, which is greatairrace.com, and check it out and fly like mad.
Team USA up against Team Australia, and the British are there as well.
Okay, now as soon as you start turning this into a nationalist event, we got to have some sort of trophy, cup, plaque, or something.
It's not like the America's Cup, mate, where we go to court.
No.
Look, there will be prize money. Now, in 1919, the Smith brothers were awarded £10,000 by the Australian government at the time. The Prime Minister was Billy Hughes. And in fact, the story with Billy Hughes, he actually got a lift back from France to London after the conclusion of the First World War, the Treaty of Versailles. He was there representing Australia. He saw this aircraft, and the Smith boys gave him a lift back to London. And this is where he got the idea for the Great Air Race.
Wow.
Consequently, £10,000 on the line. There will be a prize money, and we're negotiating that. We're hoping that the prize money in 2019 will be commensurate with the £10,000 from 1919.
Okay. Now, you're running different classes, like you were saying, fuel-efficient aircraft.
Yep.
So is this going to be strictly a race of time, or in that class, will there also be a race of time and fuel consumed?
And that's exactly right. So we've got a scoring formula. We're working on that now. I've got an aviation team back in Australia and some input from some of our colleagues in the UK as well. So there will be a scoring formula, and it'll be based on what you've just said and whether or not there's one or two passengers in the aircraft as well. So we'll take all that into account. And it's kind of like, look, basically, if you're into horse racing, it's a bit of a handicap system, more or less.
Right.
And look, I've spoken to some entrants who have got the capacity to be able to fly 4,000 kilometres in one hit. We obviously don't want to do that. We want to try and keep to the spirit of the race. Hence, in 1919, they went to about 28 stops. We look like we're going to around about 20 stops. Starting in London, finishing in Darwin, and in between heading down through the south of France, overnighting in Cannes, across into Pisa, down through Italy, over into Corfu, island hop down to fly over to Alexandria, fly over Cairo, down into Luxor, cross the Red Sea to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, fly over Doha, into the UAE, Abu Dhabi, Dubai for an overnight stops, Muscat, up into Karachi, down into Mumbai, up into Calcutta, Chittagong, down through Thailand, overflying Phuket, Kuala Lumpur, Singapore overnight, and then into Darwin via Timor. Sounds easy, right?
Yeah,
piece of cake.
That's a lot of paperwork on your part, a lot of visas.
Well, that is, and we've employed some people in the UK to help us with all those visas and permits and logistics. So we're out there looking for sponsors. Anybody out there who's got a logistics air company that can provide us with a couple of aircraft to be able to leapfrog the field and accompany the field, always looking for partnerships, which is one of the reasons why we're here talking to you, Digital Dave, because you've got such a wide audience.
I think there was six people at last count.
Six people, all in one phone box.
Yeah, exactly.
All
around a little handheld radio.
Yeah, exactly.
So this, I guess, what do you foresee as the biggest challenge for the racers?
Getting to the start line, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
It's the technology's the challenge, and I sat in on the NASA symposium yesterday on their project on electric aircraft. They haven't got a prototype yet, but we're chatting to them about whether or not there's a possibility to partner up. So the technology is a challenge. There's no doubt about that. It is cutting edge. The distance they can fly is a challenge. So we've tried to keep the legs to around about, you know, probably the longest distance is about 400 nautical miles. And anything in between from there. So we've tried to do that. There'll be days, mandatory stopovers, where the field will get a chance to catch up because of that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also do some key events in those mandatory stops to acknowledge sponsors in the event and the countries that we're in culturally as well. So I think that's kind of a couple of the challenges. Obviously, logistic-wise, how do you power them? You know, moving that around. Look, security and safety, as we know, we're in that world, so we need to acknowledge that. You know, our risk register is frighteningly long. And look, we're getting help from the Australian government, from our Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, trying to bring all that together. So it's a big challenge, but we've made some great progress over the last 6 or 7 weeks, which is good to see.
Now, are you expecting a lot of these aircraft to be privately owned, privately sponsored, or corporate research groups that want to try it out?
Yeah, a bit of all of the above. What surprised us, we were in Farnborough last week, was the universities and their aviation research projects together with the aviation industry. And I understand that the United States is the same. So we've spoken to a number of universities in the US, hoping that they may be able to get a team together with their connections within the industry and be able to develop that. Now, that may well be that it's a fuel-efficient aircraft, and that's absolutely fine. No problem with that. The more we have in the field for the fuel-efficient, the better it will be. But we do have expressions of interest for a number of electric aircraft and a couple of hybrid as well, and some from commercial operators, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. You're grouping your classes by technology. Some of these other aircraft, like the electrics and everything, may be flying a lot slower.
Yep.
So you've got to allow them a chance, like you said, to catch up. And I think the big logistics issue with those guys is just charging time.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, that's right. So what do we need to charge? It needs to be moved. So again, logistically, aircraft, getting on the plane, moving to the next stop, making sure that, you know, all the battery power is available, the power to charge, the power charger is all available, all that stuff. So the next step for us, I guess, will be as a group and a team, is to actually go and do a site visit to every one of those locations to understand what's there. And not only at those airports, and we're not going to the major airports. We've moved to some of the smaller commercial airports, so we don't get in the way of air traffic control. And
right. You
know, we kind of don't want to be landing on the wing of an A380
coming
into Dubai. That's probably not a good look.
No.
So we need to go and do that, and then understand also transport to hotels, back to the airports, customs, security. All of those things. What are the logistics needs that each of the teams need to be able to get to that stop?
And a team may be fielding one airplane and two pilots, but there may be 30 support people going along as well.
Exactly right. So that's the sort of logistics that we're getting down to. Still got a bit of time. Hope to have a field of at least a dozen or more. That'd be nice. Expression of interest close November 2018. So there's plenty of time for your listeners to get a team together, have a chat to their boss, whatever that may be, and put an expression of interest in. Doesn't necessarily mean you're entering the race. It's an expression of interest. And we'd be glad to have a look at that and open up some communication lines.
Okay, and that is all through the website?
It's all through the website. Okay. You can give Digital Dave a call later on and hand on my details or whatever, but
I figure,
go through the website.
I'm going to get my suborbital spacecraft together and hop right over there.
Well, you told me off air you wanted to go and see Australia, so that
that's
could be
right.
One way of
that's
getting
right.
there.
It's a new technology. It's rubber band powered.
Is it really? I'm surprised you haven't painted that already.
That's right. Nobody's tried that in space flight
yet.
Who would
have thought?
Exactly. Wow. That sounds like a chance of a lifetime to be involved in something like that, you know?
You're right, and that's the way a lot of people are thinking about it. If you go back to the Smith brothers and the whole concept, it was, you know, these guys, they had no navigation. Their navigation was the eyes that God gave them,
right?
Essentially. And they flew over the French Alps and the Italian Alps and just did an amazing job. And when you sit back and think about that, what they achieved in that, you know, 28-day period of time, it is mind-boggling. Out of that, coincidentally, Qantas was formed 6 months later.
Oh, my goodness.
So out of that, one of the great airlines of the world, and obviously my national carrier, was formed in Darwin, and the rest is history. In fact, it's their 100th year celebrations in 2020.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Milton O'Brien about the Great Air Race, and you can find out more about the Great Air Race and express your interest to fly it at greatairrace.com. Thanks a lot for joining us, Milton. This is Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.